Let's just go over a few things, and I woke up this morning with a regesh that it's, I'm just sharing it because it's on my mind, but like I have a tremendous amount of gratitude for the fact that everybody indulges me and listens to me about all these random things that we're talking about.
That's what we come for.
I'm just telling you, I appreciate it.
Yeah,
I do.
Do it every day.
Yeah.
We need to say for ourselves.
You read the book yourself, right? Wait. No, because you say we're in Shir 177 on a few prakim of Nefesh HaChaim. Obviously, there's a lot of tangents here. But I think the tangents are what I have to offer here are the tangents, hope I'm right. Let me take the first of all, we're talking about the hiskashrus. What we've learned so far is that in the makeup of the existential makeup of the human being, there's the nefesh, ruach, neshama, chayu, yechida. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, we can grasp a little bit. We know what our nefesh is. We know what our guf is. You can go to the doctor, get an x-ray. You know what your guf is. You go to find out what your nefesh is, but meaning like what makes you tick, literally, which is a fascinating thing. Like what's the life force that's making my heart beat? That has to do with nefesh. And then ruach, as you go higher, it gets a little bit more complicated because ruach is always associated with dibur. But it's easier, which is true, Ruach is Dibur, the Targum is guilty of doing this because he says, Ruach Memalala. Ruach Memalala, but it's easier for me to understand it, which is not a contradiction, as the ability to breathe. Ruach. So you can have the Nefesh, the Ruach, breathing. You know, if you can't breathe, you can't live. It's vital, no? Like you can't. You find even people that could breathe without a heartbeat, they could live without a pulse for a little bit of time, but not without breathing. The neshama is harder to understand because that's where it already is connecting into a higher world, and scientists don't want to even acknowledge the neshama. And even outside of that is the chaya, the actual life force, which is even outside of me, and yechida, which is specifically, to put it into Kabbalistic terms, is that the Or Hashem, the Kav of the Or Hashem, reaches this world, and it's a big Or, but the focus, like a magnifying glass, focuses into Yechida. That's what the word Yechida means. Brings it into Yachad. Brings it into Yachad, and the Yachad is my specific Or Hashem, which is why my Yechidiyut is so important. I just want to. This sounds like a really big tangent, and I'm going to get to the what I want to get to in a minute, but I just want to give a mashal, which you'll see is not such a big tangent. Al pi halacha, and I've discussed this briefly, but I want to go a little bit more b'iyun on this, and maybe you'll appreciate it, particularly if you have a medical background or a scientific background, which I don't. In the world of halacha, there's a big sugya of establishing death or life, which is obviously a religious question. if you're religious, it's a religious question. Tremendous nafka mina, like if somebody's dead or alive, huge nafka mina. Can you bury them?
Take an organ.
Hmm?
Can you take an organ out of them?
Take an organ out of them. Can you remove a respirator if a person's dead? So, al pi halacha, it's very clear that life is established, life is defined by the ability to breathe. Ruach. Nefesh, ruach, neshama. Where is the definition of life? Not in the nefesh and not in the neshama. Neshama remains. Neshama doesn't die. Nefesh is the nefesh. The nefesh is my biology, let's say, and my psychology. That can all die. I can be brain dead. But ruach is the halachic definition, ad kedei kach, that the Shulchan Aruch says, if you want to know somebody's alive or dead, primitive, you take a feather and you hold it by the person's nose, and you see whether the feather moves or the feather doesn't move. So you see the definition of life is in ruach, not in nefesh, not in neshama, not brain death, not heartbeat, not the ability to think, nothing like that. It's just, am I breathing? Is the person breathing or is the person not breathing? This is the question. This is the question, breathing or not breathing. If he's breathing, he's alive. Doesn't make a difference what else is going on. If he's not breathing, he's dead. That's how you define it. This is as true 2,000 years ago as it is today, al pi halacha. And unfortunately, for some reason, the last few weeks, I've been dealing with this question on a very practical level almost once a week. Somehow or another, I became a number to call. So on this particular issue, and the way this question manifests itself, b'yamim ha'ela, is usually in removing a respirator. And the reason why that's the issue is because clearly, even if a person's breathing, al pi halacha, just while I'm here talking about tangents, it's probably incorrect, probably usher, to do heroic. So people say you got to do everything you can to keep the person alive, lo baruli, because if a person is a goseis, lo yaleinu, right now, if a person is a goseis, meaning they cannot live 24 hours on their own, that's the definition of a goseis according to the Shach. If a person is a goseis, you're not allowed to even touch that person. The Ramah brings doima l'ner, it's like a flickering light. You're not allowed to even touch a person, so certainly you're not allowed to do an operation on the person. So a ghost is, so it's questionable to me whether it's even a chumrah. It might be an avera to start doing heroics, meaning to put in a respirator, put in a stent, put in all these kind of things that a peg, you know, put in all these kind of things that they want to put in. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says very clearly that at all times, even for a goisis, you have to always offer the big three. The big three is nutrition. You have to offer air on some level, and you have to offer blood. Meaning if a person's hemorrhaging, you have to stop the blood. Person can't breathe, give them an oxygen mask. But that's without doing heroics of an actual invasive procedure of putting in a... So I just want to tell you something. First, like a very deep lesson and a good mushel for the Nefesh HaChaim. Ruach. We're talking about Ruach here. The Shulchan Aruch says that death has to do with breathing. Rav Tendler, Shlita, who was my colleague in Muncie, even though he's old enough to be my father, son-in-law of Rav Moshe Feinstein, so is quoted as saying that no, the definition of death is brain death. And of course, because this was quoted in his name, who said it yet in the name of Rav Moshe, so he became pasul l'chol davar in a large part of the Haredi world. It became like brain death. What's brain death? This is nothing according to halacha. How could he even say it and say it b'shem Rav Moshe? So it's something interesting. First of all, the importance of being intelligent. And second of all, the importance of understanding the inyanim. I actually had the opportunity to listen to the shiur recently of Rav Tendler on the subject. Nobody bothers listening to it because he's just wrong, right? I actually listened to the shiur. He so completely didn't say what everybody says that he said. Just like an interesting thing. What he says is as follows. It's so important for... It's important l'maisin, it's important al pi halacha, and important in dalakav schus. What he says is as follows. He says, obviously and clearly, the only definition of life and death is breathing. It says in Shulchan Aruch. There's no question about it. The question was, if a person's on a respirator and he's not breathing completely on his own, or so is he breathing or is he not breathing? That's the question. Now, this is not such a big question, he pointed out, because there's a little meter. Anybody who's had the great schus of seeing a respirator in action knows that there's a little meter, forgot what it's called, on the respirator, which tells you how much of the breath is coming from the person and how much of the breath is coming from the machine. What's this called? You know? It's a little meter. Every single respirator has one. It's not this is not high tech. You don't have to have an Israeli startup for this. It's called an MID or something. It's some kind of Rosh Yetavis. Okay. It's something very crude, like it might be even an IHB, like is he breathing, like some kind of something like that. But anyways, there's a meter. So the meter says 1, 2, 3. Bezer Hashem, if anybody here would be on this meter, we're fully breathing on our own. So you don't. It's telling you how much the mix of oxygen and telling you how much you need for the machine. So you can really tell. If a person is breathing based on this meter, you can tell if they're breathing or is it a machine that's breathing for him. Yes, that's clear. But he says, Rabbi Tadler, it's not 100% borer because it's not 100% clear the number and how much. And sometimes it's in a grayscale. It's not clear. So he said that today you can do tests on the brainstem. On the modula of the brainstem, which is the part of the brain which controls all the survival parts of the person, including breathing. And you could test if the modula is alive or dead. It's impossible for a person to be breathing on their own with a dead modula. It's impossible. Modula is a Bolshevist module. But a modula, M-O-D-U-L-A. This is the part of the brain which controls the breathing. So, if... He said to Rav Moshe Feinstein, his father-in-law, that if it's very, very clear, this can be tested clearly, that the modula has no brain waves at all, the brain cell is nothing, it's dead, so it's impossible. Here you have, combined with the meter, which says that there's no independent breathing, you want to do a double bedika would be to check this meter, which is your feather, or I have better feather, which is checking the brainwaves of the modula with high tech possibilities. And the technology is such that now today you can establish 100% whether a person is breathing or not breathing. It has absolutely nothing to do with how he's quoted. I just want to bring that up. It has nothing to do with how he's quoted. It has nothing to do. He doesn't say brain death is death. He's 100% consistent with Shulchan Aruch. Can you argue with this? Maybe you can argue with it. I'm going to argue with it. But the first thing is that what he's saying is not just logical, but it's actually goinus. What he's saying, he's just saying, use the technology to as what the Shulchan Aruch had nothing better than a feather. Today you have a $4 million machine, which is a big, big feather. It's a very good feather. Use the technology. So you can get, first of all, into a question of, does technology replace the traditional way of checking things? Maybe that's a question. And then there's another question. As far as technology replacing the way we do things, I just want to point out to you as a mushel, this is a real madriga because now I have a tangent to the tangent, tangential tangent. But something very interesting in Hilchas Nida. In Hilchas Nida, there's a halachas like this in Shulchan Aruch. It says very clear that Nida is the Isser, the Tumma of Nida is scientifically the breakdown of the endometrium within a woman. In other words, every month, the endometrium, the lining, the wall of the uterus breaks down to make a new wall of uterus so you can have a child. That's the purpose of having what you're no longer childbearing. There's no more Nida because there's no more endometrium, no more breakdown of the endometrium. The whole process doesn't take place. Sorry, Medu, Hechzer Ladam Nida is a big simcha. It means her body's working again, right? Shapir Sadita. Now, the halacha is that if you see Dam, if a woman sees Dam, only two people see Dam, women and rabbis. So if a woman sees Dam, so you have to ask, you have to ask only one question, Al Pi Halacha. Is it Dam Rechem or is it not Dam Rechem? Is it coming from the uterus or is it not coming from the uterus? If it's coming from the cervical canal, from the cervix, from the prosdor, as it's called in Halacha, so then it's probably not Nida. Unless there's all kinds of conditions. I'm not teaching Hilchos Nida now. But once it's coming from the Rechem, this is the point I want to make, once it's uteral bleeding, it's Dam Nida and finished. Who knows how to be Mechalik anymore? Now, there are altogether 72 types of things that you can see on a batika cloth. 72. So I mean, it could be anything, but being that we don't know exactly what it is, once it's dam rechem, we assume, al pi chazaka, that it's dam nida. Yeah, you with me? In other words, who could check? Comes from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and he says, of course you can check today, you have scopes to check. So let's say a woman has a fibroid, an in utero fibroid, which is causing bleeding. Nothing to do with nida at all. Zero to do with nida. It's just like you have a fibroid here. You have just some kind of an irritation. So it's clearly dab petza, dab maka. So Kuzer Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he says that you could have a situation of 100% dam rechem, utero bleeding, which is 100% mutter. You don't go to mikvah for nothing. You don't have to do anything for it because it's utero dam. I never saw any poisek that argues with him, but this was his chiddush of how technology solved a problem that halacha was not able to solve. There was no way to check this. There weren't the instruments to check this even 100 years ago, apparently, to check what is causing actually a bleeding. So he says, once you know it's a fibroid, it's not exeris akasim, the dam rechem is usir. It's just the dam rechem. We don't know. But if you do know, so then that's the halacha. So there are many cases.
Is that included in the 72?
It's one of the 72 for sure. And there's all kinds of, by the way, possibilities of petza. So if a person, for instance, a woman came to me a couple of weeks ago, she's been a nida for 7 years. 7 years, a young woman. So, like, what's a nida? Her rabbi said that she's a nida, it's damrechem, it's a nida. The doctor says damrechem, it's a nida. So just to put 7 years. So I sent her to a particular doctor that I recommended. And there's a fibroid. It's a simple thing. It's a fibroid. She's Anita for nothing for 7 years. I'm just saying, Anita for nothing for 7 years. And you understand the shalom bias, everything. It was a fair lesson. But on the other hand, you know, like, this is what her Rav does is one thing. It says a Shulchan Aruch. So I didn't even ask who the Rav was. I said, look, you have a rabbi. I don't want to paskin. And I actually WhatsApp the Sack of Rav Shlomo Zalman, and it's another Pashan, it's another Bor, that she's never been a Nita at all. I mean, maybe she was a Nita between, but she's never been a Nita at all. So she called me back. So the Rav said that, well, okay, well, if there's one Shita like that, you can be Mekos. Okay, completely missed the point. But okay, as long as she's Mutter, No, but what I'm trying to say is that, like, to know the Pnimius Advarim is the difference between an Amaritz and a Talmud Chacham. That's all I'm saying. You know, and it's important. L'chayra, one of the things you have to do, Talmud Chacham, has to, a Paisik, if you're Paschal, you have to do two things. You have to know the Halacha, you have to know the Messias. And there's many people that know the Messias that don't know the Halacha and they're Paschaling. And there are many people who know the Halacha that don't know the Messias in their paskening. And there are those that don't know not the halacha, not the Messias. They're also paskening. you have all kinds of poskim in this world of ours. But okay, let me go nachzer l'inyonenu, away from technology here for a second. I was just thinking like this. Let's paskin for a moment in theory. Al pi nefesh achayim, on brain death, on Ruf Tendler's brain death of the modula of the brain, which doesn't allow the person to breathe. So it's a very interesting thing, because if Misa is in the Ruach, not in the Nefesh, so you're paskening by some aspect of the Nefesh, whether there's Ruach or not. So you could L'chur, there's still Makam to be Choker, philosophically at least, that if the brain is telling you that no, he couldn't be breathing, but you're being Bodek. It's not just you have a different feather, because it's not a feather. You're going deeper and saying, we can tell by the nefesh whether there's any ruach. Psikration. So there are at least just it helps us as a muscle to understand when we talk about misa, or more important, when we talk about chayim, we're talking about ruach. Now, can you determine, this is the question, I'm not positing this question, I'm just saying, the question is, can you determine by something outside of the ruach, a din of the ruach? So like Rabbi Yitzchak says, well, psikresha la yomos, there's a din of psikresha, that if you disconnect, So once you disconnect the nefesh from the ruach, see, Gracia, La Yamos, how could it be? It's a bit, how could it be that he's not dead? But again, but that you're talking about life and death. It's possible that even one step you can't take. In other words, see, Gracia, La Yamos is still a cause and effect. It's not the thing itself. It's not Misa itself. It's just a way that we can assume somebody's dead. So the question is, when it comes to life and death, can you go with any assumptions at all? That's the question as I see it. But the point I wanted to make is that, I'll be svara, I'm just using this as a bushel to understand the hiskashrus of nefesh, ruach, neshama, chayu, yechida, how delicate this issue is. Did you want to say something?
Earlier, you covered it.
I covered it, okay. What do you say, Shmuel? Covered it.
No, I wanted to say that if there's no nefesh, right? If you go in and there's no nefesh, obviously there's no ruach. So that would prove that the person's dead. But if there is still a little bit of nefesh, that doesn't mean that there's still ruach.
Right.
So if the halacha is based upon the ruach,
also,
I can see the argument like that's the ruach.
Also,
like,
that doesn't reverse.
It didn't go to that extra step.
It doesn't reverse.
If you're going to go that far.
Okay. So now, he's taking two things. He's taking the meter on the respirator,
right,
and the nefesh. He's measuring the nefesh and the ruach as a double precaution.
So I'm saying as a general thing. So if let's say you have this halachic question and you go and the doctor says, yeah, there's no nefesh. He's a talmid chacham. He's a doctor. He's a brain surgeon. There's no nefesh. So then you know. But if there's nefesh, where before, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you would have pulled the plug because you're looking at the ruach, but now you see there's a little bit of nefesh, have you created a halachic problem for yourself?
Yeah, but that's not what happens. That's not what happens. What happens is the doctors say, look, he's brain dead, and there's no quality of life here, so pull the plug, as you say. They don't say pull the plug anymore because it's all digital. it's much more
shutdown.
No, it's much more sanitary because you can do it from your iPhone.
Yeah. the whole recent history of near-death experiences where people have been totally without any vitals.
What is that? That's like a lack of nefesh. In other words, what happens there is when they're saying that they had a death experience, what they mean is the nefesh closed down. The ruach was still working.
No. In some cases, there are no vital signs whatsoever, no breathing,
and they
no
come
brain
back.
Activity, and they come back.
Okay.
That's amazing.
And they come back and become perfectly...
if it's true, and they saw light.
And Hazal have such experiences also, tell about such experiences also.
Yeah.
So does that have...
Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi.
Rabbi
Yeshua ben Levi. Probably does. Like, what does that do? But the point is, he didn't really die. Maybe they just measured the breathing wrong.
No. I saw recently a story. Someone who was, in the ER, and his friend in the hospital worker brought him to the ER and tried desperately to save him. And the doctor said, no, there are no signs whatsoever that he's ever going to live again. He's been
enlivened.
And pardon?
And he became alive.
And so his friend was macabre on himself. Stopped talking during davening, and he went to Beis Shemala, and they told him, you've never davened as a tefillah in your life because you always talk during davening, and if you'll be careful on yourself not to stop talking during davening, and he was.
Okay.
And he came back.
Good story.
And the doctor said there medically there is just simply no explanation for this.
I hear. I don't know the halakhic ramification of it. I've never seen it. Yeah.
That considered Tzios Amazim is a person of the same person. And what defines that?
You're still married.
Yeah. Or am I married to four wives now? Right here? Look, okay, so all these sugyas are good examples. I'm just giving you a sugya of Rabbi Tendler, which is a maisa b'chol yoyim in every hospital. This is a maisa b'chol yoyim, and it's a very important question and how to deal with it. And I definitely have been, what I have seen with my own eyes is people who were on brain death and came back to life and were even able to talk again. That I have seen with my own eyes.
Breathing.
Yeah. Okay, so they were breathing. They were breathing. Now let's get back to the Indian over here. The Gemara in Brachas Lamed Hey. We said, without going through the whole Gemara again, there seems to be three shitas in the Gemara. The Gemara says that not allowed to have hana from this world without a bracha. Sha'akol niya bidvarai, or as I said, sha'akol barai l'chvodai, that you make it a chuppah. Everything has a bracha. Shechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'giyanu l'azmanu. Everything has a bracha of some sort. The famous Rav Chaim Brisker, where he wants to know if Birchas HaTorah is Birchas HaMitzvahs, and as the halachas of Birchas HaMitzvahs, and he says that it's Birchas HaNehenen. It's a type of Hanah. Learning Torah is a type of Hanah. This is a Rav Chaim Brisker. So there seems to be three shitas in the Gemara. Kol anenam enelam zebulei bracha. The first shita is kilu ma'al. He does an act of me'ila. The second shita is Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav kilu nenam mikadshei shamayim. It's all in the Gemara. And then the third sheet in the Gemara, which I asked, is the same thing. Your ma'al and ketch shemayim, so it's ha'inohach. And then the third sheet is, kilu goizel me'akadosh baruch hu knesses Yisrael. You're stealing from the shechita. So is it me'ila, is it nenem mehektish, or is it gzeilu me'kadosh baruch hu knesses Yisrael, which means the shechina. Whatever that means, that's the most esoteric of them all. How do you steal something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does it even mean to steal something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So, the thing is like this, that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, this is what I started talking about, that Kol Ma'asecha Yehu L'Shem Shamayim. It's a Mishnah. Kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. Whatever you do should be l'shem shamayim. Means you eat, it should be l'shem shamayim. You walk, it should be l'shem shamayim. You talk, it should be l'shem shamayim. Kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. What does it mean on a deep level? That kol ma'asecha is in the world of asiya. Yu l'shem shamayim should be connected, that's these kashrus, to the shamayim. So your world of asiya should be connected to the world of yitzira, to the world of bria, to the world of all the way up to Yichai Yechida, which is Shemayim. That's called Shemayim. How do I know it's called Shemayim? Because Hazinu HaShemayim, Rashi says Neshama. Same gematria as Neshama, HaShemayim. So, the Kol Ma'asecha Yehu L'Shem Shemayim is not just like do things with the right intent, but even if you do an Aveira, it should be L'Shem Shemayim. It should be Aveira L'Shema. Meaning like sometimes a person has to be Koes. Maybe. So if you get angry, but it has to be L'Shem Shemayim. But that keeps us honest and keeps us sober, L'Shem Shemayim. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, he says that the Rambam's interesting, because the Rambam says, Kol ma'asecha yehu L'Shem Shemayim, u'b'chol drachecha de'yehu. So, the Rambam like brings in another piece over here, which the pashut way to learn it is, b'chol drachecha de'yehu, b'chol drachecha de'yehu. Everything you do, you should know Hashem. So it's a like pirush, like in other words, like the Rambam bring you right from a pasuk, right? Kol ma'asecha yehu L'Shem Shemayim. Shemayim, it says in the Mishnah, Shemayim b'chol drachecha.
Huh? Mishnah.
In Mishlei, yeah, that's a pasuk of Mishlei. But the Rabbah brings us in. We already know Kol Ma'asecha Yehu L'Shem Shemayim. So what's B'chol Drachecha De'yehu? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe says it's two different things. Kol Ma'asecha Yehu L'Shem Shemayim and B'chol Drachecha De'yehu is two different things. I'll just read you. Kol Ma'asecha Yehu L'Shem Shemayim, this is on the Mishnah, but it's not on the Mishnah. This is a nice sefer, by the way. It's B'Urim L'Pirkei Avos, which is a likut of all the sikhas, which are a lot, on Pirkei Avos. Today, you can read the Lubavitcher Rebbe on everything. they divide it all up into everything. He spoke about it. The man thought and talked about everything. It's like amazing. Every part of Torah. There's nothing in Bigler or Nister that he didn't talk about. But he says as follows. Ha-Mefarshim Kashfu, the Mefarshim say, brings even the Ovis to Rav Nosson, Shmoyna Prokham La Rambam, Slek Perakei, in the Meiri, Kashfu Shizeu Avoida B'chol Drachecha Dehu. When we say V'chol Ma'asecha Yehil Hashem Shemayim, that's the Avoida B'chol Drachecha Dehu. In other words, we have a Mishnah, we have a Pasuk. He says, but the truth is that if you think about it, they're two separate things, two different things. What are the two different things? Chol masecho yil l'shem shomayim, l'shem shomayim. It's a strange lashon, no? L'shem shomayim, for the name of heaven. Who, what that means is sha'achilas ha'adam, for instance, al-derech mashal, sha'achilas ha'adam, when a person eats, well, l'shem shemayim, meaning I'm eating so that I can learn. I'm eating so that I can do mitzvahs. I'm eating so that I can be healthy and do more things. That's l'shem shemayim. Don't just eat. If you just eat, so then you're eating l'shma. You have to eat l'shem something. L'shem something. So what should be l'shem? I'm eating because it's an interesting thing. Like anybody asks themselves, like, why am I eating? I'm eating. I need to have a Hesper, yeah. Either eating, eating l'shma. I'm just eating because I want to eat. But no, kol masecho yil l'shem shemayim. Hu gam oivet es Hashem b'koyach ha'achila, ach ha'achila atzma. But he says, but it's important to remember that the achila itself is a dover chol. He dover chol. It's what the eating is mundane. The eating is secular, but I'm being mekanish in the sense that I'm eating for a higher purpose. That's l'shem shemayim. Like mitzvah. Ilu, however, b'chol drachecha de'ehu, when we say b'chol drachecha de'ehu, b'chol drachecha de'ehu, he, that is, shiddi asayas Hashem, he, b'achila atzma. It's not that I'm eating which is mundane or secular and I'm doing it for a higher purpose. The eating itself has kedusha. V'hit nasas b'dugma, for instance, achila Shabbos. So the Achilas Shabbos is not I'm eating to keep Shabbos. Achilas Shabbos is a mitzvah. Achilas Kodshim. Achilas Sudas Mitzvah. Kiyotze B'zeh. Heim Asma Mitzvah. That in itself is a mitzvah. So there's really two dinim here, which is gevaldik to think about. There's really two dinim. One is when I'm doing something for a higher purpose, and the other is this gufa is the higher purpose. This is the thing. This is the avodah. It's a bit of chassidus, you see, because this is the side of why rabbis give shirayim. It's a din of kachem gufa. It's not that I'm eating here l'shem shemayim. And probably what the Gemara means when the Gemara says kol anena misudas talmud chacham v'chulu. A sudas talmud chacham means that the talmud chacham, if it's assuming the rabbi is a talmud chacham, that the talmud chacham is gufa mekadesh the achila itself. Hence, the Rebbe is giving out the Shirayim. I'm not recommending that we do this at home. I'm just saying that that's the nekudah of it. That he gufa kodesh.
Is
this Captain Gabra? Well, that's where I'm going. It depends how much you feel that God is everywhere and everything. Do you understand the world, he says, as something which is energized or empowered by Hashem? In other words, this is something that Hashem did. We're in this world, we're in it together. But if you get to a different madrega of Einoid Milvadoi, Sha'oilam Hu Ayin, Ve'efes, Lagabe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ve'einoid Nikra Afilu B'Shem Oid, Einoid. There is no other Oid. There is no Oid except for Hashem. So in other words, it's not that I'm doing this for Hashem or Lahabdo for the company. This is the company. This is what we're doing. It's a Gevaldika Lumdus. And it's going to get me to understand the Gemara a little bit better. But I'll give you a, like Mamish's Parsha, last week's Parsha and Truma and upcoming Parsha of Shkolim. Vayikhu li Truma. This is very interesting. Vayikhu li Truma. Daber el b'nei Yisrael. Vayikhu li Truma. Mashmim al Shkolim. Rashi says, li, lishmi. Mechatesa, like, the Torah says, li, and Rashi says, lishmi. So what's we have to ask ourselves the difference between li and lishmi. The it says in the Parsha by the Mishkan, it says 13 times the word li, Chazal point out. B'chahanoi li. What's li and what's lishmi?
Would Rashi say all of those are lishmi or just the one that he said is lishmi?
That one.
Just that one.
Yeah, he says it three times. Mm-hmm. Lishmi. But not by all of them. Thank you for pointing that out. The difference between li and lishmi is this. I'm going to be Bagala side here. The difference between li and lishmi is that when we say a shame, when we talk about lishmi means in the name of or for the name of, in the name of, to the name of, whatever you want. Shame. The Sharish is the word shame. What is a shame? So the Shechina is the shame. When we talk about the shame of, we talk about the shame of a person. You know, my name is Yaakov, hi. I'm giving you a way to identify me. Is it my essence? Oshikein Oshaloh. I could have an essence without a name. I could have a name without an essence. That's not necessarily my essence. It's supposed to be. This is the Ruach HaKodesh of the Bris. But is my name, you know, my name is John. is that my essence or is it not my essence? It's my name. So when you talk about a name, we're talking about outside of the essence of whatever it is we're talking about. In terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we say like this, L'shem Yichud Kutcha Brichu U'Shechinte. Two Zachen here, right? There's two things. L'shem Yichud, we want to make an Achtus between Kutcha Brichu Atzmias Hashem U'Shechinte and that which is His shame. How do we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We don't grasp His essence. We don't grasp His essence. What most we could grasp is the shame Hashem. Wow, Elokim, we could see Midas Hadin. We could see Midas Harachamim. We could see the shamas are different. But like we say in Adam's Miris, right? It's we could see His shamas or His midas, but we can't see Him. Right? You can't see Him. Even Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Kisisa. He says, "Hareini na es kvaidcha." What does Hashem tell him? I can't tell you. Right, you can't see me and live. But I'll tell you my name: Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Chanan, Erachabayim, Rachez of Yemes. You can see my midos. You can see my midos. Haraloi kesher tefillin shel roish. He showed him the kesher tefillin shel roish. Stam something to be mine into. You could do this for homework. But says b'satei v'kodesh baruch hu b'talos k'shliach tzibur. Hashem put the talos over his head kiviyachol, and he showed Moshe Rabbeinu the kasher shel tefillin. Isn't that a contradiction? Mm-hmm. So there's a big side in that also. You take off the talos b'satei. He put on the talos, and he showed it. But the thing with it is that Hashem was megala to Moshe Rabbeinu, the shemois of Hashem. Shame is something. Shmi Hashem va'erel el aves. Ushmi Hashem loy nadati. I didn't even ask them. They didn't even ask me the shame. So the shame is the Shechina. You understand this? The shame is the Shechina. And then there's a Kutcha Brich Hu that's the Atzmius. So comes the Zayar and says that, you know what li means? The Atzmius of Hashem. You know what lishmi means? The Shechina of Hashem. So Zayar. Vayichu li truma. Say this over on Parsha Shkolim. Vayichu li truma. Take a piece of myself. That's the atzmius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're talking about money, shekels. The ichu li truma. Lishmi means take it for me. Vayichu li means take me. Vayikuli l'shmi comes Rashi and he says, take it for me. Why did he change it from li to l'shmi? So Chazal explained, because if it says li, it'll never be charav. But if it says l'shmi, it can be charav. In other words, there is such a thing as the siluk hashchina that can go away. But what's li, mamish, is never going to go away. So something which is, so this is talking about the Chazal say in the Medrash, right? Ala makom and kisisa, that the li is for Yemois HaMashiach, because that base of Mikdash will never go away. That's a Mikdash Elamim. And the Lishmi is talking about the Mishkan and the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, which will go away. Dvar Mamokim. So the difference between li and Lishmi is the difference in the Etzem Zach. Or is it Laman, that thing? So Rashi lowers the bar, lowers the volume a little bit, and says, hey, Lee, do it Lishmi. And where's the Mishkan? Lishmi. It should be L'chola Pachas Lishma. This is the same chilek as Kol Ma'asecha Yil L'shem Shemayim and Kol Drachecha Deyehu. It's the same distinction. It's the distinction between Lee. Two parts, two types of avodas Hashem. Very interesting. Somebody, there's a minhag to say a pasuk that represents your name at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. So, a young girl asked me last week, a teenager. Their girls are into this, so say their name. So she said, like, what's the reason to say your name at the end of Shemoneh Esrei? Because it says that, as everybody knows, Mr. Shabur doesn't bring this bucha. He doesn't bring this whole thing. You should say your name. But the Chavetz Chaim brings it in Shmir Zalash and Chaluk Bey's Perek Zayin. He brings this thing that you should say your name. Brings it from the Shalah HaKadosh. So what it says there is you're going to come to the Yom HaDin, and you're going to forget your name. So this pasuk will remind you of your name. So this young girl says, come on. I have to say this pasuk three times a day, because for some reason I'm going to forget my name, and this pasuk is going to remind me of my name. Like, forget the pasuk also. Like, what's the? I told her I think that the pshat is like this, that there's a person and then there's a person's name. And let's not talk about a name, George, John, Judy, Susan. Let's talk about a name. I have a shame tov of being a Baal Tzedakah. Or I have a shame tov of being a Talmud Chacham. Or a good person, a Baal Derech Eretz. Okay, you have a shame tov, but are you really a Talmud Chacham? Are you really a Baal Tzedakah? Well, so the Gemara says, the Gemara you just referred to, the Gemara says, Olam Hafel Charisi. What did you see when you died? The Gemara says, Olam Hafel Charisi. Everything's upside down. El Yoinim Lamata, Matachtoinim Lamala. Sometimes you could have a shame here, and it doesn't represent my essence at all. So what happens? You come to the Shemayim. This is what I told this girl. You come to the Shemayim, and they say, what is your name? And you say, I forgot. Why? Because there's such a pair. There's such a gap between the Olam HaEmes, who I really am, and the name that everybody called me. Like, it's wide, right? You can drive a truck through there. this is a wide gap. So now the job at the pearly gates is to be Makar of the gates, to be Makar of the Tzedakah over here. Meaning, are you who? This is the question. Are you who you represented yourself to be? That's the question, and that's a question that makes sense in the Olam HaEmes. And the way that question is worded is, what is your name?
In the pasuk.
So the pasuk is a pasuk which bina shomayim, and a person should choose their pasuk carefully, because not every pasuk starts like this, ends like this, and says an art scroll is correct. The pasuk, the poskim say that the two talk about it, say that it has to be something which represents you, and something which is a tefillah, something you're yearning for. I have a good pasuk, by the way. Yaakov is Yancha Hashem b'yayim sari sagev chashem aleke Yaakov. So, okay, I could be misbinding in that pussing and see what I'm not, see what I am, like it's and see what I'm praying for. Because you are who you pray for. You are what you pray for. Somebody just finished the Nakuta here. I asked the Chafetz Chaim's son why he didn't put this in the halacha. So the Chafetz Chaim says, because it's already in the Ber Hativ. So the son asked the Chafetz Chaim, you say a lot of things that say in the Ber Hativ. So he says, no, only halacha, not Midas Chasidus. So he has this interesting conversation. So he asked the Chafetz Chaim, but you say a lot of Midas Chasidus in the Mishnah Berurah that it says in the Ber Hativ. So he said, I got to leave something for the Ber Hativ. As the Chafetz Chaim says, that's why this is the famous thing that the Chafetz Chaim left in the Tzava, that every Mishnah Berurah has to be printed with the Ber Hativ and the Shari Tshuva together. So the son asked him, like, Taka, why do you need the Ber Hativ and the Shari Tshuva? So Mishnah Berurah, so say, Baruch HaShulchan doesn't have the Ber Hativ. Why do you need the Ber Hativ? So just have the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah. So the Chafetz Chaim told them that Ad Kedei Kach, I should take the whole Shulchan Aruch for myself. I can't do that. Like, Avek Ganvin and the Ganser Shulchan Aruch Kenech. There's a Ber Hativ, Klal Yisrael learns the Ber Hativ, Klal Yisrael learns the Shari Tshuva, and only the Mishnah Berurah. You know, but he considered it a gaiva to take away the Ber Hativ and the Shulchan Aruch. Anyways, it's not a bit of trivia about the Indian of the shame. But I'll call upon him, what I'm trying to say, there's Li, and there's Lishmi. And that comes together by Yom HaDin. By the way, the Yom HaDin doesn't have to be Achar Mei Vasser, the Yom HaDin could be Rosh Hashanah also. There has to be a Li and there has to be a Lishmi. And in Yoneinu, there has to be a Chom HaSecha Yiyu L'Shem Shamayim, but also B'chol D'Rechecha De'ehu. You can do everything L'Shem Shamayim, but I'm separated from that thing. So it's the ultimate in His Kasheris, to be miskasher the li with the lishmi. That's the ultimate kesher that has to take place. That's the ultimate, the essence of life is to be miskari of the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. So if you talk, I will end with if you talk about, you talk about three lishonos in the Gemara. Kol anenu minayla mazab le'bracha ma'al. So a mal is something that I do. Whereas here is a ruach that's coming down from Shemayim into this apple. And a mal, I'm separating it. A mal, I'm diverting the energy. Like the egg was up. Everything that's good, good, good. V'yatzah ha'egg. That's one thing. Mal, that's me'ila. Nana mikotche Shemayim is a whole different concept. Nana Mikotche Shemayim says, teaches us, no. Ha'aretz nosam livnei adam ha'shemayim, la'shem ha'aretz umloya. That this apple is already Kodesh. And if you're not using it for Kodesh, in other words, this is a chefz shel kedusha. It's not just that you should have channeled it. Hashem channeled it. It's already a chefz shel kedusha. So if you're eating from oil mazet, you see, what is the bracha? The bracha, remember this, is mekasher the oil mahasiyah to the shemayim. So if I'm saying that it's kilu nana mikatshe shemayim, what I'm saying is it's a hektish already. I'm not diverting it. I'm not moving. I'm not changing the going. It's kachshe shemayim. Now you're taking it for yourself. You're being mechal the hektish. It's a whole different idea because it's atzmiyah shel kedusha al derech, not just lishmi but li. This is Gufa Kodshe Shemayim. And then comes the Gemara and says, and then there's something else, which is maybe Kodal everything. And that is your Goizel, listen to the Lashon, Mikutche Brichu Umikneses Yisrael. Kneses Yisrael is the Shechina. Kutche Brichu Shechinte. Kutche Brichu Shechinte, your Goizel Mikutche Brichu Shechinte, Hashem made a world here. So if you made a world, and now you're taking the world in your mashchis, you're taking something. Here's Hashem made a world, He made a person, He made food, He made hana in this world. There's all kinds of hana in this world. There's a whole Gan Eden full of hana. So what you're doing when you're taking something without a bracha, when you're not mekasher at lamala, you're goyzel. The whole world, you're taking something away from the world. Not only is it me'ila, and not only is it kachay shemayim, but you're actually taking it, and you're taking kachay shemayim, and you're eating it for yourself. You're taking it for yourself without, you're losing the whole hiskashrus. And Ladati, it's too difficult to go in when I'm 5 minutes over, but this is the Indian of Nefesh Ruach Nesham, exactly. The three Lashainas are the issue of Nefesh Ruach Nesham. Where is the Kedusha? Where is life? Is it in the Nesham? Is it in the Ruach? Is it in the Nefesh? And so this is the three Lashainas. I'll try to go further with it.